think about things, the way she lived, the things that she done, and just do a message from the Word of God. Just lift him up here today. So I pray that by the time that we leave here, you can say this has been a good place to be. So we'll open up with a congregational hymn. Get your hymn book and we'll turn to page 299. And I want you to sing now. I just don't want to hear me. That's not a beautiful sound, just hearing me. Page 299. I'm going to preach real long, but I am going to give you some words that I pray will comfort you today. I wanted to give you something that would help you today, but also as you reflect on it in the days and months ahead, will be a comfort as you think about it. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, I've selected three verses of Scripture. I'll be referring to these back and forth through the message, but I'd like to read them to you. And these are words, of course, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says this, For to me to live is Christ. Think about what it says. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's an odd way to describe and die, is it not? To live is Christ, but then it says to die is what again? Gain. Gain, it says, verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. It says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Better is good. Far better's better. Think about it. This doesn't say it's better. It says that it's far better to depart to be with Christ. We don't usually, unless you know the Scriptures, unless you know the text, normally we usually don't describe death as being a gain. Normally when we talk about death, we say it's a loss. That's usually how it's described. Well, and indeed it is a loss. You will miss I'll miss her here. I will so miss her here in this church. I will. I want you to know that. But that doesn't compare to what you feel. She's your mother, grandmother, sister, family member. It doesn't compare. The loss that I feel and the loss that you feel, I'm not even trying to compare that together. You'll miss her here. But when you look at her part of it and you reflect on how it is for her, it was a what? It was a gain. In other words, you could say our loss is her gain. That's exactly what you could say, and that would exactly in this text be right. It says for me to live is what again? Christ, and to die is gain. She lived for Christ. That's true of everyone that's truly been born again. Would you agree with me today? You've truly had a new birth and you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Your life changes. And I've always said if it doesn't change, there's something wrong with it. There'll be a change there. And then your goals and your reason for living changes. I've always said it makes a great deal of difference how you would fill in this blank. For me to live is what? Well, I tell you, for a lot of people, to live is money, or to live is football, or to live is some type of hobby. You must be able to say when you come to the end of your days that for you to live was Christ. And she could say that because for her to live was Christ. She loved her family. Oh, my, does she love her family. She loved her church. Boy, did she love her church. But she loved Christ more than anything. He was her Savior. And there was a day and a time in her life that she trusted Him as her Savior. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to title this message, Four Gains for Martha. We'll personalize it. Four Gains for Martha. Now before I get to that, it is fitting that I do mention just a couple of things about her. I was her pastor since... She was a member of this church since 2001. Did y'all realize that? She's been with us that long. And she was an extra special church member. Let me tell you something about her. She was faithful. Let me say it one more time. There's a lot of people that are church members, but they're not faithful. She was faithful. You come here to Sunday school, she'd be sitting right back there in that one pew right back there. You come on Sunday morning worship, she'd be here. Sunday evening, she'd be here. Wednesday night, she'd be here. It didn't make any difference if it was going on. She wanted to be here. I appreciate that. She was a faithful church member. I've pastored here for 30 years. And one of the most special times, you know, there's a lot of things you remember in 30 years as pastor. One of the things I remember more than any other about her is I remember her baptism. I baptized her when she was 75 years old. Think about it. Ain't a whole lot of people can say that, but I baptized her when she was 75 years old. Talked to her about her salvation. She said, Yep, I trusted Jesus, I'm saved. Well, I said, you've never been baptized. No, I never have, and I ought to be, shouldn't I? Well, if you trusted Christ, yes, you should. And she said, well, I want to be. So I baptized her right back here at 75 years old. And I can remember taking her under the water, and she came up with both hands up in the air. And she just glowed now. You talk about happy. My mother said, yes, she looked like an angel coming up out of the water. And she was so happy, I still remember that. I can see that in my mind when I think about her. Martha was an encourager. She was one of my number one supporters. Did y'all realize that? She was one of my number one supporters. If you said anything bad about me, you had to deal with Martha. I'm going to tell you that right now. She'd take care of me. She'd take care of me. She never did tell me that I preached a bad sermon. I'm sure he has. But every time she said, Jeff, that's a good sermon, and you're a good preacher, she'd say. Never forget her for that. She was an encourager. She never told a discouraging word to me the whole time. She just wants you to know that. Loved her. I will tell you this about her. That was the toughest little old skinny woman I ever seen in my life. The toughest little, I'm telling you, she was tougher than a whalebone. Now, she really was. She was really something to behold. Never could get her for a while. There's groups of four of us that went and picked her up for services. I never could get her to wait. Down here since she came. She proved to you. And she told her that I wanted to come and help you. I can get there myself. So I figured out how to get her. I figured it out. I got her all taken care of, and I said, now, sister, it ain't fitting. That's the term I used, didn't it? I said, it ain't fitting for a man to sit in the car while a woman walks to it. You realize that I went to the chivalry. I played the chivalry card. I said, you realize that it's only fitting for a man to open the door up for a woman and then to close it and then to escort her to the church. Don't you agree with that? Isn't that the way it always used to be? Yes, it did, and I understand it, and she waited ever since that day. That's exactly how I got her to do it. So, she's special. She was a special church member, and I'll miss her so. Four games for Martha. Are you ready? Four games for her that I'm going to share with you today. Four games. Number one. She gained paradise. It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is what again? It's a gain. And one of the gains that she has gained today is she's gained paradise. Different words in the scriptures that is used for heaven. Heaven's called the Father's house. Heaven's called the third heaven. But heaven's also called paradise. Don't you not agree? You can read in the book of Revelations where it says the tree of life is in the paradise of God. Now certainly heaven would be called paradise because it's so beautiful. I can't imagine how beautiful a sight heaven must be. We sing a song how beautiful heaven must be. Indeed. I thought about my own grandmother when I prepared this message. And one of the things that she said before she passed was, oh, what a beautiful place and pasture. Think about it. Oh, what a beautiful place
I think heaven's called paradise because it is so beautiful, but I don't think that's the main reason it's called paradise. I think it's called paradise because there's no sin there. They sin here, and they sin here, there's suffering here, there's sadness here, and there's death here. But you know, a place where there is no sickness, sadness, suffering, or death, what else would you call it? That indeed would be paradise, would it not? You look at all the things that makes this world sad and makes this world a rough place to be at times. There's none of those things in heaven. That's why you call it paradise. And Martha went to paradise. She left this old earth here and went to paradise. Is that not a gain for her? Remember the message entitled Four Gains? For Martha, anyone that goes to paradise, you would have to say that would indeed be a gain. You would also have to agree with me this morning or this evening that this, or afternoon, I'll get it right here for long. But you would have to agree with me that as far as her state's concerned, it says to depart to be with Christ in this text is to be far better. Would you agree with me today if also along with saying that paradise is a gain for her, that along with that, that her state is far better? Would you agree that she's far better off today than she was a week ago? Not just better, but far better. Far better. Now, I'm going to miss her here, and you're going to miss her here. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know that. You already do. If you just get the reflection of your mind at times on the fact of where she's at and how she feels, it kind of takes some of the hurtness out just a little bit. Far better. She gained paradise, number two. She also gained perfection. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 says, talks about the spirits of just men made perfect. I'm not perfect. Ask my wife. I wish there was. I wish I was 100% without sin. But I still live in a body that's weak. And so do you. So do you. So does everyone here. This body is aging. This body still gets angry. This body still has evil thoughts. I wished I was perfect. I have a perfect standing in justification, but as far as being perfect, I'm not. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I can understand me writing that, but the Apostle Paul, he realized he wasn't perfect. He realized that in his flesh body, there was things there that he wished was gone. He said in the book of Philippians one day that God would change his vile body. And it would be fashioned into his glorious body. This is a vile body, corruptible body. Is it perfect? No. But you know, the moment her spirit left her body, that spirit was made perfect. Not only is she in paradise, and that's a gain, but would you also have to agree with me today, to be perfect, to be without sin, isn't that also a gain? I think it's a marvelous thing to think about. Not only is she in paradise, but at the same time, she's also perfect. She's without sin. Everyone in heaven, every spirit in heaven today. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body when you say. What do you mean to be absent from the body? Your spirit leaves your body. But when you're saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with. Is that a gain again? Oh, folks, she gained paradise. Number two, she gained perfection. Number three, you know what else she gained? Now, I think this is the main gain. All these are great. Can't put a price tag on it. She gained the prince. She gained the prince. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, one of my favorite names for the Savior is he's called the Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. Why in the world would you call him the Prince of Peace? Because he's the one that gives us peace with God. Through Jesus is the only way you can have a perfect peace with God. He reconciled us. We are reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Reconciliation is through Jesus. He indeed is the Prince of Peace. Everyone that's been saved by the precious blood of Jesus wants to one day see Jesus. Martha's, one of Martha's favorite hymns, this is a hymn that we sung, "What a Day That'll Be, When My Jesus I Shall See." And I look, upon His face, the one that saved me. Folks, I tell you, I can only imagine what that would be like. But she's got it. She's got it. I wrote down a text. It's in Isaiah 33 and 17. It says, "Thy eyes shall see the King. Thy eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thy eyes shall see the King in all His beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." Isaiah 33 and verse 17. Martha knows what that is. Three gains so far we looked at, only one more. She's gained paradise. She's gained perfection. She's gained the Prince. Last of all, she's gained people. In the book of Genesis, it talks about Jacob. Genesis 49 and verse 33. And Jacob was getting ready to die. It says he pulled his feet up in the bed. He yielded up his spirit. You know what that means, don't you? He died. He yielded up his spirit. And then you know what it says? He was gathered to his feet. Sounds describing the scripture. Especially in the Old Testament, there were several places you can find it. Death is described as being gathered to the people. Well, she gained people. She has people ready. There's one of these days that I'm going to leave my people that are here, and I'm going to be gathered to my people that are there. Heaven's a wonderful place mainly because Jesus is there, but I got people there that I love. That's departed to be with Jesus, that had victory over death, that trusted Christ as their Savior. And they're with Him today. And one of these days, not only am I going to see Jesus again, but I'm going to see them again. It is said, and it is so, that God's people never say goodbye for the last time. It's always goodbye. I'll see you later. I never told her. I did. I said, "I'll see you." Last thing I told her, "I'll see you." You got to be able to say that. She's dang people. John 16 and verse 16 says this. Jesus said this to His disciples. He said, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And then again in a little while, ye shall see me." In a little while, I'll see you. That's four great gains, is it not? Martha Fletcher has trusted Jesus as her Savior. She possessed the greatest victory anyone could have. She had victory over death. And when she passed, it wasn't a loss for her, it was a gain for her. Day she passed, she gained paradise, she gained perfection, she gained the Prince, and she gained people. That's what it means to have victory over death. I'm going to close with a question. Thank God. If you don't have this hope that she has, if you don't have this victory that she has, then you haven't really got anything that's going to last. People live their whole world for things, and the day they die, things don't go with you. You must have the main thing, and that's victory over death. You know what she wanted more than anything else in this world, in this life? Anybody in the house knows. You know what she wanted more than anything else in her life? She wanted more than anything else for all of her friends. condition of your soul? Just like your best friend leaving, and it is, and also at the same time giving you a warning along with it, this same day, if the Lord doesn't come in our life, this same time will come to you. What will the preacher be able to say over you? Will he be able to say there's a day and a time that I know that there was a profession made in Christ and victory and will be gained? Or will it be a loss? Will it be a loss? We get so concerned about so many things, but the main thing to be concerned about is your soul. What is the profit if a man gain the whole world but lose his own soul? This lady possessed the victory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful as we preached your scriptures. We're thankful that you give your scriptures to us. We're thankful for the four games that we can apply to Sister Martha today. And we're thankful for this family, Lord, that's here. And Father, we pray that you'd use these words to comfort them and to strengthen them today and in the days and months ahead. Go with us now for the remainder of the service. In Jesus' precious name, I pray.